Disclaimer: The Medicine Box podcast is produced in the spirit of informing and entertaining, and not to provide medical advice in any way. If you feel that an ailment you have could be treated with cannabis, please consult a licensed medical professional. Cannabis is not just for anyone and should always be taken responsibly.
Hey, what's up everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today I got to sit down with my chef buddy Tyler, and he let me know all about how weed impacted through his life and how he even still uses it nowadays. Hope you guys enjoy.
All right, cool. We're going to dive into it pretty much like we did with Shane. So I don't know if you want to just give a brief intro of who you are. You can obviously just keep it on a simple first name basis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where to start off? I guess with a solid cough.
that's always a good place to start, man.
Always a good combo starter, right?
Yeah.
My name's Tyler. Been cooking for fucking ever, basically. It all started, obviously being young, dabbling with homemade mac and cheese, doing dumb shit like that.
Right.
And, I think that's where we'll dive into more, where the story comes about is, being young and you start cooking weed into butter. And,
there was
a lot of that stuff, just like the simple infusions and stuff that was pretty cool to me. And on top of that, well, I got a fucking crazy brain, I'm just always thinking. So for me, weed was a way to slow me down without medically, having pharmaceutical slowing me down.
Yeah.
So I
feel you there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a career chef, weed advocate, weed grower, smoker, user in all ingredients. There's so much about the plant that can be used.
Yeah, exactly. And great thing about it, I was really looking forward to talking with you because obviously you've been using it for a while now and it's pretty much on a daily basis, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Been a weed smoker off and on for about the past, probably 15 years. And that's what's funny, because a lot of people, they have that stigma of a weed smoker. Oh, that's all you do. But, I have taken times, for
say,
the job.
Yeah, say that to the career chef. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Everything just tastes a little bit better.
Yeah, it does, man. It definitely makes and like I was saying with Shane on the last interview, if ever you're trying to lose weight, no, it's not the best thing. But at the same time, it might entice you to enjoy new stuff and healthier stuff, So,
absolutely. Man. I mean, it's a proven appetite, it'll boost your appetite. They have different strains that are made specifically for that.
Yeah.
And, it just so happens that most of those strains also makes foods fucking incredible.
Yeah, fucking right, man. Yeah, definitely most of those. They really always enjoy getting nice and baked and eating pretty much anything, right?
Oh, yeah, naturally, man.
Yeah,
that's half of where the crazy shit comes from that I make, We'll just sit down and, I'll get high as fuck, your mind gets going everywhere. And it's just like that moment of, where you're just at the right high and you're like, man, I don't know, I got something fucking weird, this random shit in your house, and you just go through it, start eating, and then being able to implicate that into an actual menu for a restaurant.
Yeah.
Being able to do specials, features, one of my favorite ones, man, was it was braised pork belly, spinach, wilted spinach, and it was over cheesy grits. And
shit, that sounds good.
Yeah, right. And
got my mouth watering, man.
Hey, those cheesy grits though, man, they'll get you. And it was funny, this was something that I basically was like, man, I'm fucking stoned as shit. I want to make something at my house and just eating it. And unfortunately, in the state that I live in, restaurants. We don't have any of the marijuana cafes or whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, right.
We don't have quite that. So it's more of a at home when cooking with weed.
Right, yeah.
But it's such a ingredient that is so distinctive, and literally it's versatile. You can do so many different things with it. You can make teas, you can make gourmet food, and back to this, you know, pork belly and wilted spinach.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Got a little off course there.
No. And that's perfectly fine. We're actually going to kind of dive into that a little deeper later on for sure, because, I mean, weed and food kind of go hand in hand. And, I'm sure you have quite a few things to say on that subject.
Yeah, man.
All right. But first and foremost, we're going to start by bringing you way, 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 way back. And I would like to know what the dialogue was around cannabis in your childhood.
All right, man. In my childhood, growing up in America, I lived in Pennsylvania. It's a very low-key state. They actually have medical dispensaries there now. So it's a little more progressive than it was, and a little more progressive than most areas.
Okay.
But, you know, I grew up in a college town, so drinking, partying, smoking, it was that taboo of, ooh, I can do this, but it's bad. Right. And, you know, my buddy's dad, I think we were 13 or 14, man, and his dad was in a band, and we snuck into his practice garage.
Oh.
Yeah. And the drum set was a nice little half-smoked joint.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we were rebels, man. We were like, yeah, is this weed? Like, are we about to do this? Is this what we're about to do? But, so, you know.
Like, as far as your parents were concerned, during your childhood, did you hear anything nasty about it or anything? I mean, it was pretty much the narrative everywhere.
To an extent, that was a lot of people's. But honestly, I was blessed with the parents that I have, man. They're fucking awesome. Very, very successful business people. My father in general, he openly told me he used to smoke weed in, you know, his younger days. My mom, she was... never did a drug in her life, but she was a flower child at heart. So neither of them really were like, oh man, this is the worst thing that you could ever do. They were like, hey, stay away from fucking heroin. That shit kills you.
I think that's a fair point to want to make.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So as far as they were concerned, I mean, especially your dad having smoked weed in his youth, I'm guessing he wasn't going to tell you against it, because you would have felt maybe a little hypocritical.
Yeah, man. That.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You gotta have a level of playing field that's even.
Yeah, definitely. So fast forward, you were saying you were like 14 or 15
or 14
13 or 14 okay.
Yeah.
Stole and that car. Was in your dad's garage?
No, that was in my buddy's dad's garage. He was in a band.
Okay, right, sorry.
Yeah, so we sneak in there, we see this joint on the drum set, we grab this shit, we go downstairs, we go behind the shed, and we smoke this thing, and my buddy, he started acting crazy, right?
Okay.
I was like, damn, I don't know what that's doing to you, I'm fucking chilling, like,
I
feel awesome, and I mean, I don't know if it's just, like, my personality or how I'm wired, but, like, if I smoke, man, like, I get more concentrated, I can... you know, take a little bit more time to process stuff and really like think, and it feels like it slows me down.
Mm.
But you know, there's different types of weeds that'll make you feel different ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what this was, but it was fucking awesome.
Right. Yeah.
And I just felt so like at awe with it. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah. You know, but yeah. Well,
I wasn't scared of it, even though it was illegal. Right. I wasn't scared of it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that you kind of get some familiarity, and the same as Shane when he first tried, he said, okay, you know, this, maybe I was not exactly told the right thing. Maybe this isn't as bad as everyone's making this out there and everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, in America here, you know, we have, used to back then, Christ, it's been years now, but the DARE program, where basically they'd have a cop come in and just tell you how terrifying weed was, and you'd be a burnout.
So, you went through that program too, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you have pretty much the same memory as Shane has of them telling you you're going to ruin your life and live under a bridge, right?
Yeah, basically. Smoke a joint, man. You're going to be homeless, eating beans out of a can. Like,
oh, my God. And they really went to the extent of, like, smoke once. It wasn't even, like, if you make this.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Like, honestly, they made it seem like it was, like, you even are in the room with this shit, man, and you're smelling it, fucking addicted, you're done.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of shitty to be told that, especially because, yeah, like, also, like you were saying, because, you know, they're kind of authority figures, so you kind of go by their word, but then you realize that they just fed you some kind of bullshit that they were just happy feeding you.
Yeah.
Right. So your first experience was in a garage, and fittingly enough, because, you know, like, cannabis was prohibited around the time that jazz was kind of becoming big in the early 20s and in the early 1900s. And yeah, it would make sense. A good sativa. Guys, let's jam. Let's play some music. And yeah, definitely, man. For sure. Did you have, before that first time that you smoked, did you ever have prior contact with weed without using it, or
yeah I mean, not like indirectly, but, you know, kind of different family members having it around and, you know, trying to kind of hide it, because, like I said, I grew up in Pennsylvania. It's a lot of farmers, and, you know, everybody's kind of keeps to themselves for the most part, unless you live in the cities. And a lot of, you know, my family, friends, families, fathers, all that kind of stuff. They're a bunch of farmers, man. So, you know, they were cultivators.
Right.
Somebody had weed somewhere. So it was kind of always around, but it was that thing that was, nah, don't do this.
Right. Okay. But then that magic one day, it happened. And from that point, I'm guessing it really kind of changed how you went about it. Did you start to use more regularly? Did you start seeking it out right away, or?
So it was funny. After that, I didn't smoke for probably till I was about 15 or so.
Okay.
And, you know, I grew up being very athletic, playing sports and stuff. So that was another factor of it was, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And, you know, it wasn't something that I did on the regularity. And if I did do it from, you know, 15, so eighth grade, you know, through high school, that was definitely smoking. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it became a pretty regular thing from there, I'm guessing, coming from your friends or?
Yeah. Being in a college town, it was pretty damn easy to find.
Right. But at that point, so you're still in high school and you were smoking. Were you smoking daily at that point?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and if it wasn't daily, it was every other day.
Okay.
I never really drank much whenever I was younger.
Okay.
So all of my friends, they would, you know, be stupid and do dumb shit, drunk as shit. And I would just be high as fuck. We'd go back to somebody's house and somehow every night I would end up somewhere cooking.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So the cooking bug caught on early, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Cool.
So did you kind of already know through high school that you'd want to pursue something in the culinary arts, or?
No, actually, I attended a university and majored in environmental science and forestry. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so absolutely nothing to do with cooking, but
not exactly. No.
Yeah, I started working in restaurants at the age of 16, you know, side jobs, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it was very apparent to me that this was something that I enjoyed, something creative and something that, you know, you can really have that self-expression to pour everything into.
Right.
And what better way to bring that out than, you know, smoking a fat fucking blunt, or, you know, just hanging out and smoking and just thinking about all the crazy stuff you can do. And it just kicked on, and I was like, man, that's what I want to do. And in the back of my mind the whole time, going through education and all that stuff, it was kind of, what am I doing, you know? And,
right.
After I graduated, that's when I really was like, you know what? Fuck the corporate world. I want to build my own path. I'm going into cooking where I wanted to.
So you didn't even pursue a job in the field that you studied. You just went, fuck it. That's not what I want to do.
Yep.
Props to you, sir. Yeah, that's
it was a lifestyle that I wanted and something that I was passionate about. So we dove right in, man.
Good, man. That's what you got to do. And I'm guessing now looking back, you have especially not a single regret, you know?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, a lot of people measure success upon like money, that kind of stuff, education. I enjoyed the hell out of going to university, but the passion and joy and just all the excitement and all the cool shit you get to do cooking, that's worth it all.
Right. So when you were in university, I'm not exactly familiar with how the U.S. education system works. So when you were, you said when you were 16, that's when you kind of got your first job cooking?
Yeah.
And you were still in high school at that time,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And you were smoking fairly regularly.
Yep, for sure.
Did you find that it had any effect on either you studying your school in general or your work in general?
No, man, absolutely not. You know, I smoked all the fucking time. I graduated with a 3.89 GPA. I have always been punctual, so I was never late to work. You know, those were always big things that I guess were important to me.
Yeah, it's just having a strong work ethic, right?
Yeah, being educated, strong work ethic. And, you know, never once in my life did I find weed to be the type of stimulant to really make you that way. I think it's a lot of who you are as a person. So if you're a fucking lazy person, man, you smoke, you're going to want to sit on a couch all day. Yeah. If you're a productive person, you have a high energy mind, like you smoke, man, you're probably going to like dumb down a little bit, but you're going to focus into other shit that like, you know, you may have going on everywhere in your mind. But for me personally, like if I have that and I want to focus on something, like I'll dive in, man, and it just fucking sprouts.
Yeah, right. So at that time, pretty regular user and everything, you were using just smoking joints or?
Mainly just like smoking bowls, man.
Right. Or,
you know, a joint. I remember the first little bowl I got, it was just this little fucker in your pocket. I think it's called a Chillin'. So it was just like the no choke on it or anything.
Okay.
That thing was cool as fuck.
Yeah. You still have it or?
No, I don't have it anymore, unfortunately.
He lost artifact. Oh, oops. Yeah, we'll get into that at one point, I'm sure. All right, cool. So that was pretty much irregular. At what point did you kind of start to want experimenting with cooking and cannabis?
Honestly, like the first time I ever fucking cooked, man, I was working at a Thai restaurant, and they threw me in to make these rice noodles.
Right.
And I was just like looking around at all this different shit. And dude, I was so fucking high. I was a dishwasher at this time. I got thrown onto the line. I'm standing there washing dishes. You know, I'm stoned out of my mind, listening to music, just jamming out. This little Thai guy comes up to me, speaks zero English, just grabs me, you know, and he's like, come. I'm like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're saying right now. Like, I'm stoned as shit. Brings me over, man. He hands me a knife and he showed me how to roll these rice noodles out and then cut them. Okay. And like the whole time, my shit. And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm looking around and like, whoa, there's a lot of shit going on in here. I like this. Like, there's so many different outlets for me to focus on, so many other things like that are all around me going on. It's chaos, but it's organized. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, what about making lemongrass chicken with wheat, because that was what I ate every day whenever I worked there, man.
So that was your first ever idea?
Yes.
Walk me through it, man. I'm very curious to hear that.
I mean, I was 16, so like I didn't have the means to execute it until in my later years, which was
right,
fun.
Right.
But like just thinking, because you know, at that point in my life, I was like, oh man, I've made brownies, you know, your basic shit. You know?
Right. Okay, so you had like you had edibles before.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The edibles I think I had at that time, honestly though, were like only brownies, and I believe my brother and his friend made Buckeyes, so like peanut butter chocolate or chocolate covered peanut butter balls.
Oh, okay.
And they were pretty fucking banging.
Some teenager food, basically.
Yeah.
Some perfect stoner teenager food.
Yeah, exactly. Right? They were just used little balls.
Right. So at that time, 16, 17, what happened when you moved on, when you got another job? What changed from there?
So 16, 17, working at this Thai restaurant. And then I started working at a tavern, which is where I think I've met the first time that I ever like met an adult or anybody who was like over 18-ish, who was like, hey, man, you want to smoke weed? And it was one of the cooks, you know.
Okay, right.
I'm 16, 17 probably at this point. And I was like, fuck yeah, man, let's do it.
Yeah, right.
So after that shift, we went up and smoked, and like that became our thing. It was, you know, we'd smoke every night after our shift. And so at that point in my life, I wasn't cooking with weed, but right. Weed was definitely
part
very
of
very involved in cooking in the culinary industry in itself.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, marijuana in the culinary industry, it goes basically fucking hand in hand, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I fucking forgot what the question was.
Someone's a little big. It's okay, man. I'm a little big too. Yeah, no, basically from moving on after your first job at the Thai restaurant, what was the next one that you had?
The tavern.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I'm big too, man.
It's cool. We're coming back to full circle. It'll be good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll edit that out.
But yeah, so I worked at the tavern.
Right.
Meanwhile,
did it become kind of a regular thing?
Oh yeah, man. It was almost an every night after work kind of thing.
Oh, okay. But you guys didn't really do it during work, though. It was really kind of an after work.
Yeah, man. Anytime you took the trash out, if you were able to, or there was you know, somebody doing something, you know, that's why I say they go hand in hand. So
you go out,
you take the trash out, you hit a fucking bowl, you come back in. I mean, honestly, I have found, especially when you are stoned, like cooking food, it's such a more... I don't know if the word would be sensual, but damn
pleasurable.
Near. Yeah, you know.
I get it.
It's an aesthetic of, especially
sensorial.
If you have that creative mentality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
For me, that was something that was like, fuck yeah. So every opportunity that I got, you know, get high as shit and then go cook.
Went on right there. Cool, man. Yeah. So you were working at a tavern. I'm guessing. Were you 18 at that point?
I was 17.
You were still 17? Oh, yeah. I didn't know you can work at...
Can't serve alcohol in the United States under 18, but you can work in a kitchen or, you know, doing something like dishes or that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Nice to know, man.
Yeah. It's right. Funny, you know. can't fucking smoke weed, but at the age of 18... you can literally serve somebody. And at the age of 18, I don't know a single 18-year-old that knows how to cut off a grown-ass adult of when to stop drinking.
But yeah, it never happened with weed, man. I mean, no. however much weed I can smoke in an evening, hang out with my buddies, gaming, doing whatever. Like we can be sitting around the fire for like 4 or 5 hours straight, just lighting up constantly. And, you know, kind of chill. Everyone's just enjoying their time, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it is quite different. There was a time where I would actually drink a little more, and it made some impacts on my health, which obviously not good. So, at one point, like 2 or 3 nights in a row, I was going to bed like throwing up, and I wouldn't feel good at all. I cut it out from there and just kept on going with weed, and suddenly a few days later, I felt fine.
Isn't that a magical thing?
It's a magical thing. Hey, dude, zero calories, nothing that's toxic really for you or anything. Get a nice little high and you get to enjoy a little more just about everything that you do.
Right. No such thing as a hangover, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, man. definitely a good thing for that.
Hey guys, just a little mid-break reminder about our sponsor, The Medicine Box in Oka, Quebec. If ever you'd like to learn more about who Medicine Box is, head on right over to www.medicinebox.ca. See you there. And now, back to the discussion.
So did you have any more notable experiences with cannabis or anything before the age of 20 or...
not really. Whenever I was 18, went off to college and found for the first time, you know, I was always a bit of a shithead growing up. As nice as, you know, I could put that, very polite. I appreciated people, was a nice person. I was a little bit of a shithead. Whenever I went to college, though, my roommate, he sold weed. Okay. And he basically was like, hey, man, you want to sell weed with me?
Right.
So before 20, I was selling weed, right. A lot of it.
Oh, so yeah.
That was...
There's demand.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little different than just indulging.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a little different when you're selling like 2-3 pounds a week, so...
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Yeah, no shit. That is a freaking lot, man.
Yeah, and especially in the U.S. where it's not legal.
Yeah, exactly, because it's not... Like, being that it's Schedule 1, it can really land you in, you know, an enormous...
Well, especially back then, you know?
Yeah, right. Now that it's changed, it's not...
Yeah. I mean, at the levels of capacity that was happening at that time, it wouldn't fucking matter. You know, you'd be in trouble either way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think even now, though, if you're wandering around with then, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's another thing. I did get in trouble at one point in my life for the possession of marijuana. It was less than an ounce. It was literally... a slice, so 3.5 grams. I was on probation for 5 years because of that. Nowadays, yeah, man, this was back in 2011. So now
3.5 grams. So,
yeah,
okay, but walk me through kind of, was there a kind of judiciary process? Did they put you in, because there's jail and then they would transition to prison. So were you in jail for a few
days? Just holding, yeah. It was good family fun. I was 16 at that point, actually. I should have mentioned that earlier. So I was much younger. Being a juvenile, they couldn't really keep me. So it was more of like, hey, we're going to keep you here as long as we can, but we're going to call your parents because, well, we can't fucking do anything to you, really. So luckily, I was a juvenile at that point. But, you know, now being an adult, if that would happen to me in the state that I live in, it literally wouldn't even be a slap on the wrist.
No,
it would be like a fucking traffic ticket.
Yeah. That's what it is. I know, like, Virginia decriminalized last month.
Yeah.
And basically they just said that, you know, if ever you're caught with it, you're not going to be criminally pursued, but you're still going to get a ticket for it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one step in the right direction.
We're getting there, man. We're getting there. We're a little slower.
Yeah, a little slow, unfortunately, but, you know, whatever. Just one foot in front of the other. I'm curious to know, what was the most notable experience you had while you were high? Like, do you remember your first high ever?
Oh, I mean, shit, yeah, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You remember kind of vividly, right?
Dude, you'll love this shit, man.
I'm listening. I'm going to mute myself because we're going to hear some bubbles otherwise, right?
That's fine. I'm going to take a hit of my pen as well. So my brother... who we game with, Morphic. It was him, me, and one of his buddies, and we were smoking this fucking bong that they had, this Illadelph bong. It was fucking
cute. Okay.
We were out on our back deck, and I remember getting so fucking high that I was like seeing shit in the trees, and I remember saying, there's fucking Canadian flags in this tree. It was a maple tree.
We're taking over, eh?
Yeah. I fucking guessed, man, from day one.
Oh, wow.
Day one, I knew that you guys would be a little more progressive.
Hey, it was, there you go. It was suggestive to you from that very time. Hey, the Canadians got it right, man.
Yeah, man. And my brother will contest that shit. That is true shit, man. I swear. Wow. And I was playing WoW at that time, too.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. You know, so that was 15 years ago.
Wow. So just a backyard smoke sesh,
yeah, man.
Big old bong and big old rips. Damn, that's sweet, dude. I mean, like, I think, because, you know, like most of the stoners, well, pretty much every stoner that I know, that's how we kind of grew up with it, right?
Yeah.
When our parents were gone on vacation, we'd have the friends over in the backyard and just chill and smoke and hang out there for a few hours and, you know, then go gaming or whatever. So I love hearing that people actually have the exact same experiences. I got to say that seeing Canadian flags... That's pretty fucking cool, man. That's hilarious.
Man, it was a thing.
It was a thing.
It was a thing.
All right. Well, okay. Do you have any more like notable highs that you remember or like marking moments that you feel maybe mark you more?
Yeah. So, especially with the cooking, I was working at another tavern at this point. And the head chef at the time, I was 21.
Okay.
The head chef at the time, he pulled me aside and he was like, "Hey, man, you kind of give off that vibe like you smoke weed." No, I wasn't giving off a vibe, man. I fucking smelled like it because I'd come into work.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And he was like, cool. Well, I'm going to move you up a station tonight. And I was a little fucking nervous about this shit. He was like, "Oh, well, here, man, indulge in this." And he made these caramel like bites, salted caramel bites.
Okay.
And he would infuse them with weed.
Oh shit.
And so this guy, he comes back in my later stories about cooking with weed.
Okay.
So he gave me this little edible. Nervous as fuck, I was like, "All right, man, I'm gonna go power down a cigarette and, you know, I'm gonna come back in and we'll start the night shift."
There you go.
I go out, I smoke, I come back in, prep in my station, and you know, I'm the normal high. You know, I'm chilling.
Yeah, just nice little buzz going.
I'm chilling, I'm relaxed, and this edible starts kicking in, and man, I was chill as fuck. But it was funny because, like, I was so concentrated and so fucking high that, like, working the saute station, just watching the flames go up and down and, like, you know, searing different meats, duck breasts, and cooking vegetables and all this stuff all at the same time while, like, literally feeling this euphoric, just relaxed, you know? And,
Right.
And that was one of those moments with weed where I was like, this is fucking incredible. I feel incredible, and this industry is amazing. And that's pretty much where it all came together.
Okay, so that was kind of the...
That was, yeah. So at this point...
The epiphany moment that this will now be my career.
Yes, that was the moment,
man.
This lifestyle, this career, this is what I want.
All right. And now you've been doing that, you said, for 15 years.
Yeah, man.
Jesus, man. So I'm sure you've tried kind of a couple of things, because now we've barely scratched. You started working like at the first tavern around 17, and then at that one you were 21, right?
Yep.
That no other jobs in between, right?
No, I was in college, so okay. Selling weed.
Selling, there you go, selling weed. Hey man, you gotta make money, right?
Yeah, right.
There you go. Okay, so did you stay for a while at that tavern? Or?
Yeah. I worked at that tavern for about 4 years. And then, you know, just moved around a little bit, worked at different restaurants all over. Kind of got my foot in the door in some places, and then moved back to my hometown where that place was at. And I worked there again. And this time I'm older, I'm more experienced in cooking. Well, that same head chef still worked there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Buddies of yours, I'm guessing?
Huh?
Buddy of yours, I'm guessing?
Yes.
That makes
sense. So start working with him again. And this time he was like, hey, man, like, we should hang out more. So we start hanging out and, you know, we go over to his place and he started doing these infusion dinners.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned that quickly and I got to say that got me all tingled because that's just about any, I mean, anyone that uses weed on any type of basis, I guess that's kind of a dream come true thing.
Yeah.
So... Just tell us a little about it because I think it's freaking amazing, but yeah, go ahead. So,
the infusion dinners, man, like he was fucking legit about this stuff. Like he would actually make sure that, you know, the doses were correct, all that kind of stuff. So it was like a whole cohesive meal. And you know, dude, he used to make like jalapeno poppers and he would infuse the cream cheese in the middle with the bacon and infuse that with weed butter.
I just know that the people, whoever's going to be listening at this point, is going to be freaking watering at the mouth, man.
Yeah, man. So he used to do those kinds of things, and then he made, well, the big one that I will like forever was my fucking favorite, man, was like this Thanksgiving dinner. And he had the jalapeno poppers, he had your cranberry jam, he had turkey, corn, cream corn, you know, everything, mashed potatoes, gravy, all of it. And pretty much damn near everything was infused. So yeah, man, it was crazy. Whether or not it was using raw herb, just shredded, ground up, or actually infusing it in butter or, you know, concentrating it and using it down like that. It was everything about it was kind of fucking just immaculate and filled with weed.
Right. And wow.
And it was, that's, you know, it's gourmet food, something that you wouldn't see. And you're like, oh, that's a pot brownie.
It's not like brownies.
This is a fucking pot turkey.
Oof, you know, I want some of that pot turkey, man.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, definitely want some of that turkey. Okay, so like those infusion dinners started. So basically.
Started with him.
I'm guessing that guy had a good understanding of THC and CBD.
Oh, yeah, dude.
If you're just loading everything with THC, everyone's going to get super baked and it's not going to be
nice,
right?
Yeah, so that's the thing. You, he always told me, he was like, bring him up, mellow him out first, bring him up, and then take him down with CBD at the end.
Okay. To level it. And how did that kind of translate into his meals?
Dude, the
like dessert loaded with CBD? Or?
Yeah. The crazy thing was, it's like, you know, we're talking years ago, man. And like, he was so ahead of his time for doing this. And it was incredible to see somebody who was very fucking talented in the culinary industry and also have this excessive knowledge of the marijuana industry and how to use cannabinoids, how to use this plant in so many different ways, not only, you know, for medical purposes, but for actual flavor profiles, feelings, like literally being able to take people to different levels. So it was always a early appetizer, bring up into a fucking bam of like an entree. And then it would always be like some silly after dinner thing where it was the CBD.
Nice. Yeah, that really kind of balances it out. And then you have a nice, comfortable high for the rest of the night.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, that was years ago. And since then, I've moved states away. But I'm lucky to have a few cool fucking chef friends down here as well that are all in this area.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Nice. Kept that going, man.
We continue that trend, man. You know, about once every month or every 2 months. I mean, right now with quarantine, it's been fucking weird. So that's not a thing.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let's sit down for dinner. Nope. Unfortunately. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So that was kind of in your early to mid 20s.
Yep.
Wow. So, and infusion dinners. And did you at that point start cooking too? Because you mentioned also that chicken recipe earlier.
Yeah, right? Man.
So, okay. When did you try that? Was he kind of instrumental in making that happen?
Yeah, the lemongrass chicken, that was a fun one to try to come up with. Basically, it was in the sauce. I was able to concentrate cani butter and put it into the sauce. So it wasn't so much of getting it into the chicken, because I didn't want to, you know, overcook it or do anything like that. Cook the meat out of it, you know, right. The THC, cook it out. I didn't want to do that. So I put it in the sauce and, I pretty much just went balls deep on that one. didn't like, you know, try to measure out anything, just straight up.
Just put a bunch of weed and let's make butter and see how that goes.
Yeah. And halfway through that meal, it was fucking incredible. But halfway through that meal, I was just melted.
Wow. Halfway through the meal. And usually edibles take some time to kick in.
Yeah.
So that just made its way. And right away you were off.
I wouldn't say right away, but we got there. I'm a slow ass eater, man. I enjoy.
Okay. Right. No, that does make sense then. Perfect. Wow. Okay. And in all the things, the weed things that you cooked, which one would you say is kind of your favorite?
Honestly, chicken marsala, man.
Chicken marsala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cook it just like regular chicken marsala, except for I've been putting flour in the flour. I tried doing that. That was okay. Just flour, a little extra flavor.
Right,
and actually using the canned butter to break down and make the sauce. So, but, you know, it's as amazing as you can get flavor-wise, and then also being infused. But that's something I make for myself.
Oh, yeah. On the occasion, you're like, hey, you know what? It's time for a nice chicken marsala and kick it into high gear.
Hell yeah.
All right. Sweet, man.
That, and I've gotten big into making teas and infusion coffees.
Yeah. Like, because there's obviously a bunch, like pretty much any type of food that you can make with weed. So, yeah, you made general meals. You made tea, coffee. What else did you do?
Desserts. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Desserts. Hot desserts. Haven't really messed around too much with, you know, the idea of really doing something, but I think it'd be fucking cool to do like a Jell-O.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. It's a nice texture to have when you're high, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
Why not? But yeah, man, it's really like, if I'm not cooking something with weed, I'm cooking while high.
Right, yeah. So it's just part of you now.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, especially in at least the area that I'm in the culinary field, marijuana is very prevalent.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that just most chefs fucking smoke weed, man. And that's probably why food's so goddamn good.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, if we can attribute the success of the culinary industry to weed, yeah, you know what? Why not?
No, it might be a long shot, but we'll get there.
A bit of a long shot, but it's okay. I mean, yeah. And to your point, and I'm sure a lot of chefs are going to experiment with it, right? Because, you know, like last time I was talking with Shane, and I asked him, like, how old do you think that weed is, right? And he's like, I don't know, like 100, 200 years, something like that. I'm like, well, dude, it's a little further back than that, dude. It's
way further than that.
A little like 12,000 years. Yeah, so, yeah. And, it kind of makes sense. It grew along us. So the fact that we can use it, we can, you know, eat hemp seeds, we can make fiber out of hemp plants, we can smoke the flowers and kind of make any experience better. I don't know. I love it anyways. I'm sure you do too.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm trying to figure out, I want to make dog treats because my dog, he's got high anxiety.
Oh, right.
So that's something else I've been thinking about trying to experiment with, you know. Right. In the best of my abilities.
So you've been working now as a professional chef, as a career chef, nice boss, yes, for 15 years. And what are your most recent experiences with weed? Right now in Pennsylvania, you told me that it's legal medically, right?
Yes, medically it's legal. I currently live in North Carolina where it is not.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it is not decriminalized. I forget exactly what it's called, but basically, unless you have more than, yeah, kind of like that, I guess, unless you have more than an ounce, you know, you're going to get a fine.
Okay. They're not going to pursue criminal action or anything.
No.
Oh, good. I mean, just according to all the numbers that are out there, I know there's a lot of people that are in either jail or prison because of weed. And I mean, I feel like that's a little senseless, but
man, that's a whole nother topic for the American society.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to go based on this. There was a 16-year-old that was put in jail because he had an eighth of an ounce on him.
Wow.
That's kind of shitty, man.
Yeah, man. And nonviolent crimes, it's a hell of a thing here.
Yeah.
No, the hell problem of a thing.
Did anything, like, because at one point when you were in college, you were delivering. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, I'm guessing you sometimes felt stressed from it or something?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the one negative side about marijuana, is especially here, is it has such a, I don't know what the right word that I would want to use is, but basically a stigma of being bad and associated with bad fucking people. It comes back to their class. You know what I mean? Right, he's telling you, you know, you're going to be a piece of shit. If you smoke weed, you're involved with weed, whatever. Well, to an extent, it has been such a illegal substance in America for so fucking long that the people who have the control of most of, you know, products, or able to move most of these products, are people who are also connected with really shitty things.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have some interesting, sketchy people involved while selling weed. I never came in contact with police or anything like that. Okay. I did get jumped and robbed. That was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good experience. But, you know, other than that, no. You know, it's just a plant, and it's crazy that they arrest people and make them spend, you know, X amount of years incarcerated for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is freaking stupid. Like, even though it's in Canada, it's become legal for the entire country, right? So you can use and you can have with you and everything, but funnily enough, legalization actually just ended up costing more to the government, because now they have actual guidelines that they can go about to proceed to make arrests or give out fines or stuff like that. So, and provinces, like states, provinces can actually kind of regulate themselves. So in our case, the Canadian government says you can grow up to 4 plants at home. Our provincial government says you cannot. So yeah, we're it's funny because we're kind of living what you guys have been living for so long, and I'm kind of just seeing a painful irony there. I'm like, okay, cool. It's fortunately it's not as bad on our side, because I'm not really in any danger of getting incarcerated for that.
Yeah.
So that is a major difference right there.
Absolutely. You have plants growing here, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt, man. So out of your social circle, like your chef friends and everything, pretty much everyone smokes weed, right?
Yeah.
Do you have, I never asked you, are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Okay. In a relationship?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny, my girlfriend, she works at the hospital, so she can't smoke weed anymore.
Oh, right, okay.
In those cases, she would if she could.
Yeah, no, there you go. It was the same with Shane, that's what he was saying. Yeah, it was like, I mean, you know, my job won't allow me to, so I can't, and that's it. Go. Yeah, right. And do you have children? No.
No.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes for a nice little cozy life in North Carolina, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
You know, and like I said, a lot of the chefs around here who also are my friends, because working in this industry, you don't really get to do much else except for, you know, see the same people in a kitchen every day.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
Yeah. Right. You know, that's pretty much what we do. We hang out, smoke weed, play pool, play video games, you know, hang out.
A nice complicated life with many, many perils.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we want it, man. Yeah. I gotta love that. Sweet, man. Well, is there anything else that any notable experience that you can remember, or anything else that you feel should be known about weed? What's the coolest thing you ever heard about weed?
Shit, I don't know, man.
Think about it for a second.
That's a hard question.
Like it has like a 12,000 year history. The other day I was reading, because we're actually writing up an episode on that, like, its history, because like we want to cover it in detail so people can actually enjoy it. And there's actually a few pieces in history where very important public figures were actually like prescribed cannabis. And the one that kind of like that I learned, I was like, wait, what the fuck? I think it was Queen Victoria got prescribed cannabis at one point by a physician for her menstrual cramps.
Well, wasn't it something about, that's where the term devil's lettuce came from, was England, from, it was one of the kings, I think, who kept finding weed plants among his crops or whatever, and they growing it, and since it would goddamn grow everywhere, they called it the devil's lettuce. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either. It definitely makes for a nice story, though.
I'll give
it that much. Yeah, for sure, man. So, yeah, the coolest thing you heard about weed. Take the time to think about it. Don't worry. I can edit out the pauses. It's not a problem, man.
That's fair. I think probably the coolest thing I've heard about weed, honestly, to me personally, was that it was good for animals, for dogs in specific, because I have such a high anxiety dog during storms. He freaks the fuck out.
Oh.
Like storms, loud noises, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've been buying him these hemp chewables, and it really helps him during the storms. And I think that was probably one of the coolest things, because once I realized that, I was like, man, this has probably been used for so many years as such a medical practice, and somehow, somewhere along the lines, pharmaceutical companies fucked up by introducing like actual fucking drugs when
yeah.
they had this natural herb this whole time that has been proven to help in so many different ways.
Yeah, just around 100 years ago, man, that's when it all happened, and everything just hit the fan.
Yeah.
Shit just hit the fan, as we could say. Yeah. But it is amazing that it has such an effect on pretty much anything. And I mean, because you were saying hemp chewables, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There is naturally occurring THC and CBD in hemp too, so it would make sense that, you know, it takes the edge off if ever you're having a big issue.
Yeah.
Do you know if CBD is legal in North Carolina?
CBD is legal, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking silly to think about. So I can go to a store.
Yeah, because they can extract it from hemp.
Joint. Pre-rolled CBD joint in North Carolina. Now, in Colorado, California, Seattle, like, you know, places like that, Washington, Oregon, you can go and you can buy a pre-rolled marijuana, you know, THC.
Yeah.
And it's like, so we're this fucking close. We're this close.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, and it's stupid. I mean, they both occur from the same thing, and it's, anyways, it is a little mind-boggling that it's still a contention. But I think last time that I checked, like, survey said that over 65%, I think, of Americans were kind of okay with weed and didn't have anything against it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from my industry in specific, I've noticed in the past, you know, literally just a year, cooking with CBD in restaurants or CBD infusion drinks.
Are those a thing?
Yeah, that's a fucking thing, man.
Oh.
But we're so far, but so close.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I didn't realize how fucking high I was till I answered that phone call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like standing up after a few drinks, right?
Yeah, right. Hold on one second.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, you know what? While I have a certified high-quality chef, for anyone who wants to cook with weed the first time, how would you recommend they go about it? Hope you guys enjoyed sitting in with us just as much as we enjoyed talking. We're going to do a secondary episode with Tyler because his chef experience obviously is something that we can all benefit from. And we're going to look into how you can make your very own can of butter. That's right. You'll have a foolproof recipe that you can use from home to always impress. See you then.